Welcome to Swiss Duc. My name is Hans Fischer and my guest is Robert Harris. Welcome, Mr. Harris.
Very nice to be here.
Imperium is not a historical account, but a novel about Cicero's life until he became consul. Now, why did you write it from the point of view of his slave, Tyro?
Because I think genius, you have to observe genius from the outside, for a start. And secondly, because Tyro is one of those wonderful figures who was both an insider and an outsider. He was close to Cicero for 30 years. He handled all his secret correspondence and wrote down his speeches. He invented shorthand. He lived to be 100. He wrote a life of Cicero that was lost in the Dark Ages. And I thought, why not recreate Cicero's slave's lost manuscript? It's like the memoirs of a president told by their chief of staff.
Mm. While I was reading it, very often I had the feeling that the book is about our times, really. Give you just two examples. The pirates who attack the Roman fleet are described almost like Al-Qaeda today. And Pompey uses President Bush's sentence, "Those who are not with us are against us." Was that your intention, to talk about our times, actually?
Very much, yes. It doesn't seem to me that one can get away from the fact that I'm a man living in the 21st century with my preoccupations, looking back more than 2,000 years to politics then, and wondering why it was that this centuries-old democracy collapsed. And the pirate attack on Ostia of 68 BC was a great blow to the psychology of the Roman people, and in their panic they surrendered a lot of their liberties, and this was to lead within 20 years to the total collapse of Roman democracy. And when I came across that story, it seemed to me that this was something vital that I should put in the novel. It's one of the world's historical turning points.
What was actually the voting system in Cicero's time?
Well, it was a democracy a bit like 19th century European democracy. Women didn't have the vote. Male citizens had the vote, but the richer you were, the more your vote counted. So we're not talking here about a perfect modern democracy by any means. Nevertheless, by 64 BC, which is the election which is the climax of this novel, the Roman electorate was 1 million strong, and votes were taken every year, and votes were for the consulship. There were two consuls, a kind of joint presidency, who took it in turns each month to preside over the Senate. There were votes for the 8 chief justices. Each praetor, as they were called, presided over a particular court. And they were second in command to the consuls. There were 10 tribunes of the people who proposed legislation. And it was the people meeting in assembly in Rome who determined the laws. It wasn't the Senate. The Senate was the executive. There were also 20 senators elected every year. So something like 30, 40 officers were up for election every year, and maybe tens of thousands of people turned out on the field of Mars outside the walls of Rome to vote. So this is really quite an extraordinary system.
Imperium also shows how ambitious politicians are, that they actually accept almost any means to reach their goals. Is that your point of view of politicians in general, or is that just the Roman time like that?
Well, I think the wonderful thing about politics in the Roman era is that politicians weren't required to dissemble. They wanted power because power was something that was fun to have. Nowadays, politicians who seek power have to pretend that they want it for the benefit of humanity and for the greater good and so on. In those days, there was no lying about that kind of thing, which is one of the reasons why I find the Roman period so attractive to write about.
Mr. Harris, thank you very much.